Welcome, everyone, to the Workforce Navigator podcast. I'm Steve McDonald, your host. Today, we have a really unique conversation with Janelle Washington. Now, Janelle, you are the VP of Global Talent Acquisition at Druva. You're on an advisory board of a global women in the workforce and in talent. You have quite a creative flair to you as well that I think I want to bring up and talk about. You work with clay. And it's a very creative endeavor, but it has a lot of applications, actually, as we talked about it, back to the workforce in our business life. The last thing I think I'll say is that one of the things that is interesting about your background is that you have probably four or five different very unique industries that you've worked in. And we all solve problems differently and look at things differently based on our industry. So that's added to, I think, your experience. You're an adjunct professor. You've created courses on all of this. And so I think there's a lot that you can teach us today, but before we get started, because our goal here today is to talk about how to create a sustainable talent acquisition market. Phenomenal. Never heard anybody else talk about it like that before. So I'm very curious to get into the conversation. Maybe just spend a minute or so and just elaborate a little bit on your background and your experience.
Thank you, Steve. So, pleasure being on this podcast with you. So, my background has essentially been in several organizations, several different industries on the talent acquisition side. Had a great opportunity working in large organizations where we hired 17,000 hires annually, all the way to where we've hired out in my current organization, where we're around about 400 hires annually on a global perspective. And so it's really been rewarding watching how all of these different organizations, based on industry, based on size, operate. As I mentioned, I'm excited to be speaking with you.
Fantastic. I'm going to dive into the question that we all want to have answered for us. This idea of a sustainable talent acquisition. Like, what is that? What is a sustainable talent acquisition market or funnel? Clue us in on what you're thinking.
Yeah. So when you think about talent acquisition, most people think of talent acquisition from the perspective of recruiting, and it's just about recruiting. But when you really look at talent acquisition holistically, it's really about how do you acquire and attract talent, but also how do you retain that talent? How do you upskill that talent and move talent around the organization? And how do you engage talent to really drive productivity in your organization? And so when you look at talent acquisition from that standpoint, you create a talent professional that's more of a consultant, what we call in the industry a recruiter that is an order taker, and they're not really consulting the business on really looking at the talent that is brought into the organization.
So I got this picture as you were talking about expanding this of not only just acquisition, but engagement and retention. And that's a flywheel, because if you do that right and you create very engaged employees that are part of high performance teams and they love where they're working and you retain longer, that makes it easier to acquire on the front side, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. We all know that when people are happy in the organization, it's infectious. They share that with their friends and other colleagues and professionals they know within their industry, and it becomes easier for you to attract talent or recruit talent because you have these other ambassadors, employees within the organization that are also sharing what a great place it is to work at your company. And you definitely want to make sure not only when you're bringing people in, you're creating opportunities for them to continue to grow and develop either in their profession or acquire other opportunities within the organization, because that only helps you in the long run. It helps you with your employer brand. And for most companies that are on that EVP journey, that is one of the critical things.
Here's my analogy. In a lot of organizations, there's a sales department. And as soon as the sale is made, cut off right now, hand off to somebody else who's going to carry on that relationship. In talent acquisition, a lot of the time, it's like, oh, well, we did the job. We got the talent. We got the new candidate. And now the hiring manager, that team, HR is going to take the experience with that candidate and work from it from there. But that's not what you're talking about here at all.
Well, no, not at all. When you think about our roles as talent professionals, we're in some instances the first point of contact that a candidate has with an organization. Sure, they may see us on LinkedIn or different blogs or in the media. But that first human touch point is typically with the talent acquisition team. So we're selling the organization. We're selling opportunities within the organization. But it should never stop there, because you are that first point of contact. And in some cases, you are one of the decision makers for a candidate choosing your organization. It's always in with the candidate, maybe 90 days, or maybe doing a 30, 60, 90 day check-in along with the hiring manager, just to see how is the candidate still feeling about the opportunity that they accepted. Because again, candidates are making choices, just like we're making choices to bring talent into the organization. You want your candidates, your new employees at this point, to feel good about the decision they made, because it's a very important decision in most people's lives. And so, you know, it's always a good thing for the talent acquisition team to stay engaged with that candidate. And you collect information on how's the onboarding, how's the department. So there's information that we're collecting at that point when people are really still excited about the opportunity they accepted. They're going to give you feedback on what's great and what are some opportunities for improvement. They still feel like there's a welcome for them to be in the organization. So I encourage my team to stay connected with new hires, no matter what level they are coming in the organization. And in fact, we're in the process of launching a quality of hire survey so that we can also check in with the hiring manager to make sure that we've done a good job in assisting them with bringing in talent. We already do a candidate survey, and that is anybody we touch, either hired or not, just to see what we can do better. And so now we're adding this quality of hire.
So important, the post-onboarding learning experience. I keep making analogies to different parts of the organization, but you would never bring on a customer and then just not worry about what the experience with that customer was like. You would never learn from that. In fact, you learn from customer acquisition. One of the ways companies grow is by expanding that relationship. And you bring in a certain customer that fits a certain profile that does better inside the organization. Same thing with talent. If you were never learning about how that talent fit in, not only to that department, not only how did it fit that role, that department, that team, because there's dynamics within the team too. And you're constantly learning. If you're going to be a resource to help grow this company, you have to understand the feedback after the fact.
I'm a true believer that engagement should be ongoing. Typically, companies will do an engagement survey maybe once a year, and at best, maybe a semi-annual. But I think this is something that we should be collecting information on, going on how engaged are our employees. What are some things that we can do to support their development, growth, acceptance, or inclusion? But how do we help our employees feel that they belong and that they can be productive? When we create these opportunities or avenues within the organization, it really supports your ability to have on your social media platform. They're not going through your social media marks or platforms like Glassdoor or whatever social media platform that employees use in your organization to share what the employee experience is like. You won't find that as much on those platforms where you see negative feedback. And that's something that we haven't perfected that yet. We're growing in that space in our company where we're creating more of an inward opportunity for employees to express things that we can do better or how they can be more productive or what are some programs or things that we can put in place for people to feel valued and that they belong. And I think when companies really do that reflected on a lot of their social media platforms.
So I want to put you on the spot for a minute with something you said. All right. Because step one, you're like, we have to be connected after the onboarding process, 30, 60, 90 days. And you said, secondly, we have to do that on an ongoing basis. I know that Janelle doesn't come into work every day and think, I got so much time. I'm going to start spending a lot of time, right, on what's happening with the talent that we're bringing in the organization. And I'm sure on your team, it has to be a priority if you're going to do that. It has to carve out, has to replace something that you're already doing. So here's how I'm going to put you on the spot. On a score of 1 to 10, if you could say understanding and getting feedback about placements and candidates and how they're fitting in and how did we do in terms of getting the right candidate to fit this organization, that team, how important is that on a scale of 1 to 10 to spend the time on an ongoing basis doing that? 1, not important at all. 10, absolutely critical for us to be able to create a sustainable talent market for the company?
I'd put it probably between 8 and 9. I think it's really important. And here's why. When you think about the cost to acquire talent, it's expensive to recruit for talent, and there's a cost of turnover. So there's an investment when you're bringing people into an organization, you're ramping them in the organization. They're not at that full productivity. If you're bringing in or you have a high turnover in less than a year, then you're wasting a lot of money. You're not getting people to where they need to be. You're not fully ramping in a particular business unit or the organization. So the cost of turnover can paralyze you. Not only can it paralyze you from a productivity standpoint, it can also paralyze your brand because then you're constantly reposting the same position. You see that in the marketplace. We'll hear about one of their friends, definitely in some of these needs positions where the talent pool is smaller. And when you're going back to that same talent pool to repost a position in less than a year, people want to know why. And so I think it's important. I won't say we don't, but I will say that it's starting to gain more traction. And I think leaders are starting to understand more the cost of turnover and the value of having an effective onboarding and the value of making sure you hire right so that you're not spending time. You think about the number of people that are on the interview panel in some of these organizations. And even if you have 3 to 4 people, and you start to calculate the cost of taking your leaders away from their normal activities to interview talent. And you're doing that repetitively because you're not bringing in the right talent. That's the cost of the organization.
We all want high-performance teams. One rule of thumb, you don't want constant turnover in your high-performance team. There has to be continuity there. So if it's all about getting the right people in and then learning from that, what are your, like some of your acquisition strategies? We talked a little bit earlier about kind of some groundbreaking strategies for talent acquisition. What's your secret sauce that you could share with us?
I don't know if it's such a secret sauce, but really thinking about there's some foundational things that they're foundational, but we don't always get right. And it's like, how do you even market the position that you are even targeting the right talent? I think from a foundational, not a transformational standpoint, I think you at least have to get that right. And then I think also you have to make sure you have the right people that are representing the organization in the interview panel. If you have people in the interview panel, you have to be strategic about it. For example, if you know that you want to have more diversity from a gender perspective in a certain function or in the organization, then you want to make sure that you have a nice blend of individuals in the organization that can speak to what their experience is in the organization. Make sure you have seasoned people that know the organization, they can answer questions, and they're going to represent the organization well. They have the energy and enthusiasm where they're a great ambassador for the organization, and they're garnering an excitement, and you see the excitement when they're selling the organization. Everyone wants it, and most people will take a job where they feel like, the culture seems great. I connected with the interview panel. I like what they're doing. Everyone seems excited. And that's a place where I just want to gravitate to and be a part of that type of excitement. And I think that is something I can just speak to my experience in organizations that I've been in. You want to make sure when you're putting together your interview panel that you have the right people, the right mixture of people on the panel that are really going to be ambassadors for the organization. Know how to sell the organization. They can answer the right questions. So they're seasoned enough and they are knowledgeable enough of the organization and where you're going in the trajectory of the organization. You want to make sure you have individuals on your interview team that are going to be able to sell, especially in most organizations when you hear top talent. You always want to bring in what you consider top talent. But again, most people, when they're making a decision to join an organization, they have questions. It's an important decision. This is a decision that impacts your life. And so you want to know that you're making the right decision. And so you need to have people on the panel that can answer questions. They have energy. So that energy comes through in the interview. And like I said, people gravitate to positive energy. And so when you have an interview panel that exudes that and they're excited about their role in the company, people can feel that it's effective. And so I think it's important for any company. And that's the journey we're going through to make sure that we're not having this long process that's not yielding the results that we want to yield through the interview process. And we have people that are going to attract the right people and talent, that we're bringing in the right talent in the organization.
So what you're talking about here basically is you have to think about the experience the candidate's going through and the people, not only that you have the right people that are going to be making the right decision on yes or no, is this a good person for our organization, but how do they reflect the organization to convince the candidate that this were a good place to work? We got to sell. You use the word sell a number of times in there. You've used, how do we market this? How do we sell this? It's a different mentality. Instead of saying, there's a lot of candidates out there, you should be very happy to work for us. We need to be selling because we want people that are very happy to be in here. Is that a good takeaway?
Yeah, it's interesting because you often hear when companies, you hear all these layoffs and the media companies are having a lot of layoffs. And then you correlate that with there's a lot of candidates in the marketplace. But in some instances, not all of those candidates are interested in your organization. And so what we have found that in some instances, the people have been in larger tech companies. I'll just stick with the tech industry. Most often than not, they're looking for another large tech company. So just because you have the supply of talent out there, they may not be the talent that's engaged with your organization. And so how do you, as a company, and I'd say this is something we deal with all the time, make sure we're targeting the right candidate and talent supply so that it's not that they've worked at these large attractive companies, but do they really align with the size of our organizations, where we are in our journey? And so I don't really get caught up with hearing that there's a lot of talent out there. I want to make sure, and I'm bringing this back to the candidate experience, that we are realistic in what we can provide a candidate that's out there. Value proposition that we provide is in alignment with what they're looking for. We don't want to place someone and then in less than a year's time, they want to go back to a large company because we've made some investment. We've made some investment in interviewing them, in attracting them, and training them to our processes and where we're going as a company. So there's an investment. And so you want to make sure you have done a great job in selecting that individual that you're going to invest in. I think it's important for Druva as well as any company out there and being realistic in what we're offering to the candidate, as well as the candidate being realistic in their experiences and skills and the asset that they provide to Druva or any company.
If you look at them as an investment, because you very well articulated, there's a lot of cost with bringing somebody on, a lot of cost in training. And if there's a turnover, there's a cost in disruption of the business, disruption of the team, more time that the leaders in the organization have to then go through the entire interview process again. So I like the idea of we're making an investment here. How do we invest properly? And how do we know that they're invested in us? That's a two-way street.
Yeah, I think that's true. I don't want to monetize people, but at the end of the day, there is a cost, and your cost per hire, and different companies, different people, they have different ways of calculating cost per hire. Some people look at the cost for tools and technology and advertisement. Some companies may calculate the cost from even individuals involved in the recruiting of a candidate coming on board. But on average, if you look at, I think Sherm put out a long time ago information on the average cost of hire is about $4,000, and it can go up about $50,000 for an engineer. There's an investment. And with anybody, in terms of anyone that's investing, albeit an individual or a company, you want to make sure that you've done your due diligence before you make that investment. And same thing if you apply it to hiring. Most often what you'll find is manager will create their job description. They're trying to articulate that the skills and competencies that they're trying to complement on their team. They're comparing candidates before they make a decision. And so it's an investment. And with that being said, you want to make sure that the candidate has a great experience because they're also they're making decisions just like we are.
An investment doesn't have to be purely financial. We make investments in our own children every day. We make investments to our church. There's ways that we can invest because we don't ever want to lose the people side of the business and the culture of caring and fostering and really supporting our candidates and our employees, because we know happy, engaged employees will stay longer and we'll have happier, more engaged clients as a result.
And that's why I think I don't want to monetize it, because on the flip side, once you join an organization, the company should be making an investment in your growth and development in your career. And you do that through training and development programs and so forth. But I think on the front end, you want to bring in talent that has learning agility, that has that desire to continue to learn or grow in the organization, and where they're going to either transform the organization within their business units at a minimum, and maybe the organization as a whole through some of the things that they're doing through their business units. But when you look at it in any direction, there's an investment from a monetary standpoint, there's an investment from time and development and coaching and mentorship you put into your employees, and even the candidate's time when they come in and interview and prepare for the interview. So there's investment in multiple aspects, one from the candidate, then to the new hire, then as the hiring manager in the company as a whole. You just want to make sure that you're thoughtful in your decision making and you're attracting the right talent and people have a great experience throughout the process.
We've talked about a lot here. If you had one thing that you wanted people to take away from this podcast, one thing, what would that be?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I do think when as a talent leader and just a talent professional, I think we get caught up. There's always these shiny new terms or different things that you hear in the market. Right now, we're dealing with AI. Right now, you hear a lot about upscaling and still being firing and the competency assessments and so forth. But I think what's interesting, because you brought me back to it, people component. And I think there's still an opportunity to stay focused on, we are in the business supporting people. We're supporting managers. We're supporting candidates. We're helping people make decisions. And so I think one of the things that would have kept me in talent acquisition, and I think I stated that in the beginning, is seeing people make a decision to join your organization and then watching them grow in your organization, watching them either join in at one level or in one part of the organization, and then have the opportunity from a talent mobility perspective to grow into other things in an organization. And so I think that is something as a talent acquisition professional that we should stay through to. And so I think the people please need to stay in the center. All of the other things, we didn't touch on data. I look at data all the time. I'm looking at opportunities where we can improve from a data perspective. Where are some things where we may have challenges? You know, it starts to get revealed in the data. We didn't touch on that. But I think the people piece is where we need to stay focused on.
It sounds like we maybe need a series of podcasts.
Well, and I have had some really good conversations leading up to this podcast. But, you know, again, I just think having a well-thought-out talent strategy, having people at the core of it, thinking about not just talent acquisition from the perspective of recruiting, but how do we attract, hire, retain, develop, or grow talent? I think those are some of the critical things as a talent professional we should be looking at and we should be talking about. We should be a part of those conversations within our organizations.
I know that there's going to be questions that people have. Would it be appropriate that we would give out like a link to your LinkedIn profile so that people could reach out to you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. Janelle, thank you for coming on and sharing so much and just giving us a different perspective on whether it's an investment in people, sustainable talent acquisition, starting to think differently about what we're doing. Because when you're handling the kind of numbers that you're handling right now of new hires, it can get to be a numbers game. You can get so busy. So dialing back, and when you answer 8 to 9 on the how important it is to really understand how the candidates you're putting in are actually fitting into the team and the role and how are they thriving, that was my biggest takeaway, by the way. And so I just appreciate everything you shared with us today.
Thank you for having me.